following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I found myself in a unique situation last winter of deciding if it was time to pursue my dream of playing in the NFL.
Option play near side. Pitch back to Amir. He gets a nice shield block on the edge. Amir to the 40, 35, first down, 30. Amir cutting back to the middle of the field. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Amir dives. Touchdown, Nebraska. What a spectacular run by Amir Abdullah.
I've come to realize that life is bigger than football and that my chances of long-term success in life will be greatly enhanced by completing my college education.
Sails toward the goal line. Abdullah grabs it right at the goal line. Amir to the 10, 15, 20. He's got a seam. 25. Cuts to the outside. Oh, what a move. 40-yard line to midfield. He is gone. Amir Abdullah.
It's truly an honor to play for this program, to represent the N, and to one day walk across that stage with my diploma in hand.
Just a four-man rush. Armstrong to the sideline. Here he comes, Abdullah.
Wow.
And Abdullah still on his feet. Lester can't throw the block. Amir Abdullah all the way home. Touchdown, Nebraska.
I'm Amir Abdullah, and I play for Nebraska.
Trips to the near side. Kellogg gets a shotgun snap. Final play of the game. Ron waiting for the wideouts to get downfield. Launches the throw down toward the goal line. Going up. Ball tipped in the air.
Oh, caught. Touchdown. Jordan Westerkamp. Nebraska wins the game on the final play of the contest. Oh, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a scene in Lincoln, baby.
Nebraska will snap the ball a length of the football away from the goal line. And they want to throw. What a play call. Anunua. He's going to go 99 yards. Holy cow, what a call.
Frazier adding more numbers, more yards to those.
Oh, they don't have them yet. Look at Tommy Frazier. How many tackles can one man break? Touchdown.
Going to Kenny Bell. Going to make the catch at the 1. Kenny to the 10, 15, 25. Kenny to the 30. He's got some room. Kenny Bell to the 40. Kenny Bell's got one man to beat the kicker. To the 50, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nebraska. A 98-yard kickoff return for Kenny Bell.
They're going to put it down, yep, at the 47-yard line. If he were to hit it, it'll go in the books as the longest in school history. This is an attempt of 57 yards. Does he have enough? Is it long enough? He got it!
Sam Fultz gets a good snap. Good boomy kick. This one's sailing towards the end zone. Bounces at the 3. Takes a Husker hop. Huskers will down it inside the 5. Sam Burt scooped it up and held on to it at the 1-yard line. Terrific punt of 52 yards.
Eric Kraus pumps once. He's in trouble. Eludes a tackle. Gets out of the end zone. He's to the 5. He's to the 10. Kraus to the 15. Out across the 20. Kraus to the 25. Out across the 30. 35, 40. Look out. He could go. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. He's to the 20. He's to the 10.
Sumner gets a shotgun snap, throws over the middle, intercepted, picked off Randy Gregory, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, a pick six for big old Randy Gregory. Back in the pocket, steps up, getting rushed, getting hit, getting dropped with a 25, a loose six more. Jared Crick gets another sack, his ninth of the year and his sixth in 2 weeks.
Michigan with a ball at their own 39-yard line. Gardner turns, straight hand off to Green, hit the backfield. Huskers, Corey Cooper drills him, he loses 2 yards.
Phillips up the middle, explodes, 20, cuts to the line, and Phillips is out of bounds at the 11-yard line.
Zone read, hand off to Cross, big hole, 45-40, 35-30, Amani 25-20, 15-10-5, touchdown Amani Cross, oh baby!
Rodgers takes the ball at the 30, he's hit and got away, back upfield to the 35, to the 40, he's to the 45, he's to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10, he's all the way home!
And a snap to Tommy and they give him the trap play, and it's Schlesinger inside the 5, in there for the touchdown, he's got the touchdown!
History 13-0 and bring
Football Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday. We are glad to have you along the day before Miami invades Lincoln, 7 o'clock tomorrow night on ESPN2. Hear the pregame coverage all day long, starting at 2 on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. That's the one thing about the 5 hours of pregame. If you drive down the day of the game, you can listen to the Husker pregame all the way down, depending on how early, of course, that you're headed down. That's the only advantage to the 11 a.m. game. At least the pregame's on, no matter what time you take off. But Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity is going to join us on the program today. The historian for the Huskers. We'll take a look at the history of Nebraska-Miami and what could happen tomorrow. We'll also talk with defensive end Drew Ott of the Iowa Hawkeyes, coming off that disappointing loss to the Iowa State Cyclones. I've already heard from Crazy Chris, a former producer of the show, a Cyclone fan through and through, and he's still crazy. But we'll hear from Drew, the Trumbull native, played his high school football, of course, at Giltner, was the Nebraska Gatorade Player of the Year as an eight-man football player, and he'll join us. We'll also have Pigskin Pick'em. We actually have a carryover in the Cunningham's Cash Vault. We're all excited about that. And Jimmy with his picks. He is improving every single week. But now, if you're going to improve this week, it's above 500. Are you confident?
I was 60% last week. We're going to have to.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying.
Yeah,
I know you're up there.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do now if we start winning here. That'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? You know.
Well, we pegged one, and we usually do the predictions at the end of the program. And I was a little surprised at the Husker Lunch with Steve Sipple and some of the folks that we've talked about this week. Not everybody was on the same page that we were, and just because we were right once doesn't mean a whole lot of things, but we were both on the same wavelength of what we thought would happen at Fresno State last week. I was basing it on history and really Fresno State not being very good. You were definitely on the Fresno State being horrible, not worse than not very good. And we nailed that. And a lot of folks think that Nebraska, that didn't think that Nebraska was going to blow out Fresno State, aren't sure what to make of this game. And Jimmy, my thought is, as I get ready for the prediction, is Nebraska is better than Louisville. Okay, I just think that. I watched it on opening night, and it was opening night, and that was a competitive ball game until definitely the fourth quarter and Louisville pulled away. 31-13 was the score of that game. I think Miami has the capability to score a little bit more, but, you know, I think that's the ballpark of where this game's going to be. Nebraska scored 31 or more in all three games, too.
Yeah, I wonder where Miami or Florida, I'd like to know where they're at in their conference. I mean, when you look at their conference and tell me where they're going to finish, that would be really interesting.
A lot of people have picked them to be a favorite. In fact, I think the preseason media poll had them and Florida State meeting in the championship game of the ACC.
Yeah, and if they're as good as that, they'll give Nebraska all they want. I'm not so sure that Miami of Florida is that good because Duke can play. I mean, Duke has proven that they can go out in that conference and play football. They can go and they can compete with people, and they have proven that. I would be a little more concerned if Duke was coming in here because they are sky high. This would be the first time they'd ever be 4-0 in like 20 years. Mm-hmm. They're playing at this high level. Miami of Florida all year long. Every week, they've got one player getting kicked off the team. Then they got two guys getting thrown off the team. Then they got two more. They're kind of going in there with a different frame of mind. Now, I guarantee you, their athletes can play some defense. They're going to stop our run, and it's not going to be that hard to stop the run. So I hope Bo Pelini does not try to force things with our quarterback. Because if he tries to force things, and I thought he's done that a few times, you know, in the past with some games, Iowa last year, you know, instead of just saying, hey, I was good on defense, we're going to have to punt, we're going to do some stuff, let's don't try to force a third down and nine. And if we just keep punting the ball back and forth, eventually we'll field position will take over, we'll probably win the game.
I would scratch out Bo Pelini and I would write in Tim Beck.
go ahead and do that, that if you want to.
That's what I, because I really think Beck has almost total control. I don't think Bo messes with him too much. I think they discuss some things, but Bo's watching the defense again. And
have you seen the sidelines that there are when Bo Pelini loses his temper? Have you ever seen him yelling at an assistant coach on the sideline?
They are discussing.
Oh, okay, all right. Just creative discussion. There you go. I evidently didn't see that the same way. I thought he was telling them, if you ever run that play again.
And when he says SOB, it's smart old ball coach.
There you go.
That's what he's saying. Some people misinterpret what he's saying on the sideline.
There we go. I didn't understand that. I know it looked a lot better at Fresno. He was really a lot happier.
Calm.
Very calm at Fresno. I wonder what would have happened if Nebraska would have been down 14-0, and they punted the ball, and our guy would have took that punt and backward at 17 yards through the back of the end zone to make it safe. Do you think he might have been as calm?
That was only number 8 on ESPN's not top 10 this week. That could have been number 1 or 2 most weeks. It's number 8, and there are some boneheaded plays on ESPN's not top 10 this
That's
week.
One of the top boneheaded plays I've ever seen in my career. And that'd be like having a ground ball, nobody on base, ground ball hit to the shortstop, and he throws to third. What are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? You got to throw to first. Oh, okay, I got a little confused here.
The best part is when they show the play, and Nate Gary is standing, you know, he's chasing the play down over on the right hash, and he just stops and he puts his head, you know, he puts his hands up in the air, you know, like, what are you doing? Puts his hands then on his helmet. It's just like he's the first Husker behind Santos, and I don't think we'll have to worry about that this week. One other tidbit before we take our first break and bring Mike Babcock in. You mentioned Duke, and I'm glad you did, because I haven't heard anybody on our Hail Varsity show, on Husker Online, during the Husker lunch on Wednesdays, I haven't heard anybody mention this, but Miami of Florida hosts Duke next week. That is going to be their biggest conference game, and you know that that's where the focus has to be. They're not in a national championship type of picture. They've already lost to Louisville, which is a conference game. They have to beat Duke. That has to be where their focus is, even though it's one game at a time and all that coach speak. Keep that in mind, that if things start going south, psychologically, I don't think it matters if you get beat by 14 or 30 in this game. You have to be ready to go for Duke. And I'm not saying that Miami's going to lose this football game. I think they will. I think Nebraska wins this game. They get ready for homecoming against Illinois. They go to Michigan State. They take their first defeat of the year. And then they have to be big men for it and then start running the table. And finish this. It all comes down to when Nebraska starts to click. Every year under Bo Pelini, when do they start to click? Most of the time, there's a loss in there, and they come back and play very well. Secondly, that hype thing. They are not hyping this down there. And like, oh my, here comes Texas, here comes USC. All these games over the last decade that have been really hyped up, and then Nebraska comes out and lays an egg in the first half. I mean, even Wisconsin, even Ohio State. The first time they played them in the Big Ten Conference, got off to horrendous starts and came back and won those games. But I don't think they're going to be overhyped for this one. Just come out, play ball.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, too, I think the special teams are so critical. If you watch the Kansas State game last night and the field goal kicker, and here's the thing of it is, it's real easy for some sports fan to just walk around and talk about, hey, this, how could you miss that field goal? What are you doing? What's going on? Hey, try to imagine how the field goal kicker feels for Kansas State. You know, I mean, he had a couple that were tough, but then he's 0-for-2, and then he's got one that he's got to make, and he misses that one, and then next thing you know, he's not doing extra points anymore. You know, but, you know, he feels worse than anybody. How many footballs do you think that kid kicked in the last 5 to 10 years trying to get ready and prepared for a football game like that? And sometimes it just doesn't go well. This is a huge game for our field goal kicker, I believe, because I think Miami of Florida will be able to stop Nebraska in the red zone a little bit, and we're going to have to come away with points in here. The key thing, though, Nebraska, basically, in 3 games, has got no turnovers. They had the interception on the last play of the game. It was a Hail Mary, you know, play that you just throw it up for grabs, and we just happened to intercept it. You know what I mean? But basically, we have not had a turnover to get the ball to our offense. We've got to come up with turnovers. The Miami of Florida quarterback does take some chances. He will take some risk. He's been known to throw some interceptions. We have got to be able to do that. And I think Nebraska's got maybe the best defensive player in the nation playing football on their side. If our defense can compete and create some turnovers, this will really help us in winning this football game.
We will tell you that we're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Sounds 2nd Avenue, Kearney. And don't forget, it is Chevy Truck Month throughout the month of September. Also, it's Ram Truck Month. So whatever your preference is, go in and see the great deals and the factory pricing. Of course, you've also got the hassle-free pricing, but more great deals during Truck Month from the manufacturers on a national level. And as Andy was telling us earlier the week when he was in studio with us, they are expanding at Midway, and they need more help. If you are there and want to make a move, you don't even necessarily need experience because they will train you. If you're looking to make a career change, Midway is growing and seeking motivated and enthusiastic individuals, quality team players. You can see the full list of jobs online at midwaycareers.com. Benefits and more are all there. Explains everything. So you can check it out. You can see how great it is. And then you can make that application fill out. Midway, it's growing and seeking you. Go to midwaycareers.com. We'll be right back.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be sunny with a high near 87. We'll see wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll have a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low near 65. Tomorrow, a slight chance of storms with a high near 82. Currently, it's 73.
It was a perfect day for the end of May, they say, a record high. I stared at that green water.
Doug and Daddy's Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Some bad news for the Huskers. Sam Burch tore his ACL, out for the year. Bo Pelini confirming that yesterday. He hadn't played so far this year because of a head injury that he suffered in fall camp. Just came back to practice this week for full work. Tore his ACL, out for the year. Then you've got Brandon Riley, who still is not ready to go. And then this morning, as producer Jeff is scouring Twitterverse, we find out, and more here from the Lincoln Journal-Star, that Marl Bondi was in a motorcycle accident last night, broke his collarbone. And of all the things, you can kick with one, but let's face it, he's your kickoff guy, and you know how much leg they got to put into it. I'm guessing it wouldn't be comfortable kicking with that broken collarbone. So I don't know if that means Drew Brown's in there. Do you get a look at Spencer Lindsay for once, the Kearney kid, or will Bondi be able to go? As I chuckle at this, and this is from the Lincoln Journal-Star report here just moments ago. Happened 6:30 last night. Hit a curb, ran off the road, failing to navigate a turn, according to the Lincoln Police Department. A passerby took him home. Then his roommate took him to the hospital, where doctors discovered he had a broken clavicle. It says alcohol did not play a role in the crash. This is 6:30 p.m. Bondi was wearing a helmet when it happened, yet he was cited for negligent driving and riding without a motorcycle license. Kid had an accident, so it's negligent driving. I don't know. Maybe there's more to it.
Yeah, there's got to be more to it. There's got to be a little bit more to it, where he was doing, what he was driving. But this is kind of an interesting scenario about coaches. You know, when you coach, you want kids to be smart and try to, you know, you got to take care of yourself. And this is, they put this in the NFL in their contracts. These guys are making a tremendous amount of money. They put it in their contracts, things they can't do. Do you think they can ride a bull in a rodeo and say, that's okay? Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, motorcycles are dangerous. Let's be honest about that.
Even scooters are dangerous. Well, Drew Ott, he's going to join us in our next segment.
I'm guaranteeing you, they got cars for a reason.
It's not a good...
Todd Driver's Ed for 32 years. I'm sorry, people, but I'm telling you right now, those things are dangerous.
Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity. Of course, you can hear the Hail Varsity radio show from 4 to 6 every weekday here on ESPN Radio. Mike, ever been in a scooter, bike, or motorcycle accident?
Never have. My brother owned a motorcycle at one point, but never was in an accident with it.
I wrecked my dad's three-wheeler once. there's my claim to fame.
I'm sorry to hear you were so irresponsible with the machine that was not yours.
Yeah, I know. Darn, Duke's a hazard. What were they doing showing us that we could all drive like that?
Yeah.
Michael, we've been, if you've been around as long as we have, I was excited when they said that Nebraska is going to play Miami. I was excited for some of the other non-conference games. I was really excited for Tennessee. That's been moved now another decade back. But I remember when the news came out that Miami was going to come to Nebraska. I think a lot of people were excited. Were you, and are you excited for tomorrow, maybe more so than other times?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's pretty cool that Nebraska is going to play Miami. The thing that probably my first thought was that, you know, there was a time when you look at the non-conference schedule and there were the McNeese State type game, or even Florida Atlantic or Fresno State, to some extent, those were not the norm. You know, you might have one of those, but you would have three what I would consider fairly high profile non-conference opponents. You know, Nebraska would play Iowa, play Penn State, play Florida State, all in the same year. And so the exciting thing is, I guess, that I look at Miami as more of a worthy opponent in the non-conference schedule. And I know those are becoming more and more rare for obvious reasons. But, so that's a long explanation to say that, yeah, I was excited about it, in part just because of what it represents in terms of a non-conference opponent.
Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, joining us here. Obviously, we can joke that you're probably the only guy in the press box in our level that saw the Gotham Bowl between Nebraska and Miami, but that would not be very kind to say. Well, what about the history? I mean, again, I have to hearken. When we sit here and do the radio show, we all remember all these games, but the college kids now don't have any recollection of anything but possibly the destruction in the 2002 Rose Bowl. So these were program changing football games for Miami back when they won the national championship with Schnellenberger, and they were kind of program changing for Tom Osborne to go get more speed when they were getting rolled over later on.
Yeah, well, you know, the the national championship for Osborne. That ended a seven. Nebraska had lost seven consecutive bowl games at that point. A couple of those were to Miami. Several were at the were in the Orange Bowl, Florida State, that sort of thing. But you know, you mentioned the Gotham Bowl. I did watch that through the snowy picture on my television set, and that game wasn't. It was not carried nationally. Originally, they thought it would be, but it turns out that ABC had the rights to it and carried that game on Wide World of Sports on a tape delay basis. But it was live in Nebraska, and the television station, it was an Omaha station that I was watching, and we didn't get it very well. So I kind of struggled to see that game through the snow. But literally, too, I guess. It was snow a little bit in Yankee Stadium. The thing about it is that it had a significant impact, I think, on Nebraska football history as well, because it was Nebraska's first bowl victory. And Bob Devaney said afterward, it did. Nebraska got enough exposure on the East Coast there to influence recruiting. And, you know, at that time, Nebraska was getting guys from the from the coal mine areas, from West Virginia, Ohio, places like that, Pennsylvania, and so it was important to them, and it was also important, I think, for the momentum of that first season, because Nebraska had gone through a drought after the 41 Rose Bowl, and Bob got things turned around 9-2 that first year, so it was a big deal to win the Gotham Bowl, even though only 6,000 paid to get in to see it, and you know, Bob Devaney said he thought, really, if there were that many there, a lot of them were dressed as empty seats, because it was not a great day, and there was a newspaper strike in New York, so that they couldn't promote the game. So even that game was a big thing, but the ones that we remember more so, obviously, the 1995 Orange Bowl, and as you point out, the players now remember basically the 2002 Rose Bowl, which Nebraska was behind 34-0 at the half, and that kind of set everything for that game.
Hey, Mike, you're right about one thing, too, and that was about how the schedule used to be. And it wasn't maybe that Nebraska played four really tough games, but they tried to get people that were in big programs. You know, they play like two Big Ten teams maybe, and then they play somebody in the South a little bit or somebody in the Pac-10. You know, that one year they played like Oregon. But, you know, Nebraska in the 70s just dominated everybody. I don't know what that streak was, but there was a time when Devaney and Osborne, and I think the streak might have been in the 20s where they'd won 20 consecutive games over Big Ten teams. Do you remember that streak?
Yeah. I think it was I don't know the number exactly, but Bob Devaney and Osborne put together a streak there of Big Ten teams. Now, Minnesota was several of those games were against Minnesota. I think there was a game, Wisconsin maybe was in there, Northwestern was in there. But it was, Minnesota was kind of the foundation for that, because Nebraska's series with Minnesota goes back a long time, obviously, and if you look at the whole thing, Minnesota still holds an edge over Nebraska. But like you said, it wasn't necessarily that those were great Minnesota teams or great teams in the Northwestern or anything like that. But at least you scheduled those games, and they were scheduled 10 years in advance. So you didn't know exactly how good that team would be when you played them. But if you look at those non-conference schedules, again, Auburn, Penn State, the Big Ten teams that, as you mentioned, Florida State was non-conference opponent for Nebraska. Alabama was non-conference opponent for Nebraska. There were high-profile games in the non-conference season. And, you know, the dynamics of the game have changed. And as a result, I think schools were forced into playing more of these non-high-profile games. But, you know, it was a different time and place, and it was pretty enjoyable, that non-conference schedule. It was always you never knew what was going to happen from one week to the next.
Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, HailVarsity.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Be sure to check out the magazine with lots of great articles and pictures every single week. And Hail Varsity Radio Show, 4 to 6 weekdays here on ESPN Radio. Mike, what about the game tomorrow? There are so many angles to this. Of course, there's the history, as we've talked about. There's the revenge factor, which has nothing to do with the two teams that'll actually in the group of kids that'll be playing tomorrow. Also, it's the marquee home game because, as everybody's been griping, the Big Ten home games aren't much there. Not only is it important for Nebraska to win to keep momentum, but I think it's important for Nebraska to win to keep the interest of the fans coming back for the rest of the season. Just your thoughts on what we're going to see tomorrow, because I think it's going to be a great atmosphere.
Yeah, you know, the conference schedule at home certainly doesn't do any Nebraska any favors. And it probably, as you look at the schedule going into the season, this was probably the game that you looked at and said, well, that's going to be a pretty good game. The rest of them, you know, I don't really know. I don't think Illinois, Rutgers, Purdue, and Minnesota is exactly murderer's row there. And so you look at Miami and you say that's going to be a pretty good challenge and kind of a highlight of the season at home. The one thing is, you probably would like to see Miami beat Louisville in that opener, so both teams would come in here 3-3. But I, regardless of the record, I think it's going to be a challenge for Nebraska to deal with Miami.
This comes from the Dent Popper inbox here. This comes from James in Grand Island. He wants to know if you think Nebraska's offensive line is any good, and which is not the way he phrased it. He still doesn't. He says I don't. Still on the fence about them. And Coach Pelini talked about all the rotations that they've been making with multiple guys on the O-line. Mike, your thoughts on Nebraska's O-line so far?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and I think it's really an important question because I think how good Nebraska is this season is going to depend on the development of the offensive line. And that's the word I guess I would use is development of the offensive line. I think that they've got players there to be a good offensive line. I agree with him. I don't think that line is there yet. These guys need to work together some more. And with the rotations, I think part of that is just seeing how, you know, what the chemistry is, what the best mix is going to be. So my response is, yeah, I think it's potentially a good offensive line, but I don't think it's there yet. And that's going to be one of the things that we'll find out probably against a Miami defense that has some speed and Perriman is a real deal at linebacker, so there's going to be a challenge there. Same thing for Miami. I don't know how good Miami's offensive line is, and I think that's an area that maybe Nebraska can exploit, especially with Randy Gregory back. I think Miami's offensive line could have a long night.
Yeah, I agree with you. We talked earlier before you got on about Nebraska's defense might be the difference in the game, not Nebraska's offense. You know, every football team and every football coach, what you like to do is you like to get 7 yards of play and just move the ball slowly down the field. I mean, that's the goal. Hey, get 7 here, get 7 there, play action pass, get 7 over here, run it for 7 there. But that's not who Nebraska is. These are the people that think Nebraska's going to do that against the good teams. They can do that against Purdue maybe. You know, they can do that against some people like that. But against these teams, we're going to have to do what we're the best at. And the best thing we're good at is the big play. What I'm concerned about is we have to be patient. If it's not there, don't force the ball. Don't turn the ball over. It's kind of like when Pelini first started and we had those good teams. He punted on fourth down, played field position, and let our defense stop him, and went back and played field position again. You know, when we played Texas and about beat them, we only had 5 first downs that game.
Yeah, you know, and I like your word patience. I think that's a key to Nebraska's offense. And right now, I wonder a little bit if Tommy Armstrong has the kind of patience that he needs to have, or that he will have as the season goes on and as he gets more experience. But I think patience is really an important thing. Looking back at the last couple 3 seasons with Taylor Martinez at quarterback, sometimes I wonder about how patient he was. I don't think he was patient enough. He was very much a risk-reward type quarterback, and he could make some plays, but he also made some bad plays. Some of that had to do with patience, and that's the same thing that Nebraska is looking at here offensively, is be patient about what you do and rely on a defense that I agree with you. I think the defense is probably the thing, is the factor in Nebraska's favor. the one thing that you have to consider, I guess, is that Miami, I think, is a little faster, a little more athletic than the teams that Nebraska has faced to this point. So it'll be a challenge to the defense. Those secondary guys are going to have a challenge because Miami's receivers can run. And so that's going to be an area. But patience on offense is going to be a big thing, I think.
And finally, Mike, we'll let you kind of out of here with this. Birch done for the year. Bondy gets hurt in the motorcycle accident. Riley's still gone, just among some of the guys that probably won't be playing tomorrow. Will the injuries affect the game? And when we walk down to that field and walk into the press conference tomorrow night, what do you think we'll be talking about?
Well, you know, injuries, Bo Pelini said yesterday, probably receiver, at least they were deep. You know, Nebraska was deep going into the season because you don't have Birch. Riley hadn't played yet. Jamal Turner's been lost for the season. I mean, all of a sudden, what looked like a really deep position is now manned by, in some cases, some young guys that really don't have a lot of experience. So we may be talking about that a little bit. Drew Brown was asked the other day if how he was comfortable doing kickoffs, and he said he was. So we may find out about that, but. I think the kind of questions we're going to be talking about are offensive patience on offense and how well the defense plays.
One quick comment, too. Nebraska last year was one of the worst teams in the nation on punt returns, but they seem to get that fixed. They've got better athletes out there. I think they're doing a much better job of putting pressure on the punter, and they're kind of getting the people back there. They're getting the wall. They kind of changed what they used to do. They used to just stand there and just kind of watch the punter punt and just kind of make a safety play out of it. Now they've changed that. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think it's important, one, that you get somebody back there like Pearsonell that can make a big play. And the other thing is you got to get some pressure. It depends on – special teams are 11 guys. It's not just one guy back there returning the ball. And I think Nebraska is doing a little bit better job of giving that guy some help there, the returner. But, the other thing is – DeMornay Pearsonell is a very talented kick returner, and I think that's a factor in Nebraska's favor, obviously.
Well, Mike, we always appreciate the time. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow in Lincoln for what should be a great, great day, and thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, see you tomorrow. It's going to be exciting.
All right, buddy. Take care. Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, HailVarsity.com, the Hail Varsity Radio Show, 4-6 weekdays here on ESPN Radio. If you're going down... load up the tailgate. This is it. This is the game, folks. You're going to have your friends, your family. I know just from all the talk over the summer and so far this season, this is the game. If you're going to one game this year or maybe two, this is one of the games you're going to. And it may not even be able to go to the game. Just go down, tailgate, watch the game somewhere, enjoy the festive atmosphere of Nebraska, Miami. When you turn the grill on, don't mess it up with inferior food. Well, there's nothing more depressing than working on it all day long and then, maybe I can get a hot dog at the game. Don't screw that up, folks. Troutman's Quality Meats is there for you. Carrie and the gang open 6 days a week with nothing but great food to choose from. Get something big. You want to work on a prime rib. You want to work on some steaks. You want to cut them up, make some steak sandwiches. They've got them there for you. If you want the brats and the sausages, they've got them there for you. Everything you want. Their quality steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. And, of course, all beef at Troutman's is USDA choice beef. It's the best, and why not some bacon-wrapped shrimp? You can get the bacon and the shrimp and some scallops. Whatever you want. Fresh frozen seafood is there at Troutman's. And good domestic wines and beers to wash it all down. Troutman's Quality Meats, the grill's best friend on East Highway 30 in Kearney. I'll tell you what we've got going on here. Drew Ott, defensive end from Iowa, is scheduled to join us here in a few minutes. So right now, let's get somebody qualified for Pigskin Pick'em. If you have picked against us already this year, then you get one shot. We've got $20 in Cunningham's cash if you can beat us, and God knows that's not very tough. And if you get our trivia question right, you get a large combo meal to Big Dally's Deli, which you can use in Hastings or Kearney. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. That's the phone number. Call now. Answer the trivia question I'm about to give you, and you can pick the 10 college games against me and Jimmy in Pigskin Pick'em. This will be the 11th meeting between Nebraska and Miami, meaning they've already played each other 10 times in history. How many times has Nebraska beaten Miami in those 10 meetings? 888-455-3776. How many times has Nebraska beaten Miami in their 10 previous meetings? Pigskin Pick'em is next.
It's third down and six, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. Five.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. And custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool, featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
I got the magic in me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Jeff, we'll have to pull up that Killigan's or whatever, that new thing that's hot this week. Go with that. All those folks, we heard Eric Church earlier, the big concert last night in Omaha that I know a ton of folks were at, so saw Eric and Dwight. Now, maybe if they made a weekend out of it, they're getting ready for the Huskers. I know there's a lot of people going to try to do the volleyball-football doubleheader tomorrow. But right now, we're ready to do Pigskin Pick'em, and Trent from Blue Hill knew the answer that of the 10 previous meetings, Nebraska had beaten Miami half the time. Nebraska is 5-5 against Miami. I know it doesn't seem that way. It seems like they've won like three, maybe two, but Nebraska 5-5 against Miami. So Trent has already won a large combo meal from Big Dally's Deli in Hastings and Kearney. Now he's got a chance for the $20 gift card from Cunningham's. And here we go. Trent, are you ready to get rolled up?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I was at the Eric Church concert last night, so you might have a easy win today.
Heard it was pretty good, huh?
It was a good show.
Are my Bobcats going to get a win? Coach Porter going to get that win tonight?
Yep, they're going to turn things around, finish the season strong. They're getting this eight-man thing figured out. So
they're going to be scary at the end of the season. I know that. Well, let's get into our picks. And you know, I'm going to be honest, Jimmy. I know there's a few that just kind of you turn your nose up at and go, what? But there's some close spreads out there. We like to have some competitive games. And Army is at Wake Forest. That's our first game. Army is favored by 2.5. Wake Forest was the early line favorite. That has changed. So, Trent, who you got? Army at Wake Forest?
I'll take Army.
And Jimmy?
I'll go the other way. Wake Forest.
Army's tough to defend. They're not. You know what? No, they're not. Navy's tough. Army's tough. Wake Forest is bad. Wake Forest is at home. You know what, Jimmy? I'm going to go with you. I'm going to change my mind, and I'm going to go with you. Here's one that we love. These are the games that are supposed to be played the last week of the season. You know, Washington, Washington State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, North Carolina State. Oh, Jimmy. Oh, baby. I know you're going to be looking and getting in front of a TV. You're going to be on your radio trying to find New Mexico at New Mexico State. One of them's the Lobos, and one of them's not. New Mexico's favored by 3.5. Who you got?
I'll tell you what, if this was a basketball game, it'd be a great thing, but it's not Alabama-Auburn. You're exactly right. Hey, I'm just going to take New Mexico, and I'm just taking a wild shot here.
Trent, who you got?
I'll go Jimmy. I'll take New Mexico.
Well, New Mexico State's at home, obviously. I mean, you know, I'm going to take New Mexico State. Florida Atlantic at Wyoming. They got beat up on by Nebraska, and Alabama got a big win last week. Who was it against? Tulsa? They crushed Tulsa. So we bring Florida Atlantic at Wyoming. The spread on this, Wyoming 3.5. I'm just saying, last year, Florida Atlantic. This year, Craig Bowl. I'm taking Wyoming. Jimmy, who you got?
I'm going to take Florida Atlantic.
I know they got more athletes. I understand that. Who you got, Trent?
Yeah, I'm with you, Doug. I think the Fighting Craig Bowl got this one.
All right, East Carolina with the upset of the week last week, hosting North Carolina, and East Carolina's favored by 3. Who you got, Trent?
I'll take North Carolina.
Jimmy?
I'm going to go with North Carolina also.
God, I think this is a clean sweep. The same thing that, you know, I've been taking these road dog teams and getting crushed. I'll take East Carolina. Maybe they can do it. Let's do some Big Ten games, even though they don't sound like Big Ten games. Maryland at Syracuse. Syracuse favored by 1. Who you got, Jimmy?
Syracuse.
I'll take Maryland. And who do you have, Trent?
I'll take Maryland.
I think Maryland is actually pretty good. I think West Virginia is really good, and we've got that game coming up. Rutgers at Navy. I guess I have to pick this one first. Navy's favored by almost a touchdown in this game. This is a tough matchup. I'm going to be stupid again. I'm going to take Rutgers. Trent, who you like?
I'll take Rutgers.
Jimmy?
I'll take Navy, and I feel a little confident in this one. Okay. I'll go put a little asterisk by that, and we'll make fun of me on Monday.
Uh-oh, we got some picks coming up from Jimmy, too. So, Iowa at Pittsburgh. This is the game that all Iowans were afraid of in the first 10, is this one. And then they don't beat Iowa State. Trent, who you got? Iowa at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's favored by 7.
I'll take Pittsburgh.
Jimmy?
Pittsburgh.
Iowa. For absolutely no reason except that Drew Ott's coming on next and they're going to win. Utah at Michigan. How is this supposed to be a game? I already see your pick, Jimmy, so I'm going to let you go first. Michigan's favored by 3.5 at home. Utah's coming into the big house. They're only favored by 3.5, and that is why you are taking
Utah.
Trent, who you got?
I'll take the home team, Michigan.
Yeah, I'm going to take Michigan as well. I'm all Big Ten this week. I took them all. I'm going 4-0 with the Big Ten. They got to do something, right? Oklahoma at West Virginia. You'll hear the game right here on ESPN Radio. And I have to pick first. Because I'm going to pick an upset in the final game, I'm going to take Oklahoma here. The last two times they've won by a combined 10 points. This is going to be very tough. There is no doubt. I will not be surprised at all if Oklahoma loses this game. Who do you got, Jimmy?
I'm going to take Oklahoma.
And the spread, by the way, is Oklahoma 7.5. Trent, who you got?
I like Oklahoma.
Finally, Clemson at Florida State. This is the big-time game that we've got for you as well tomorrow here on ESPN Radio. Trent, Florida State was favored by like 22, and now with Jameis Winston setting down the first half, it's 16.5. Florida State survive at home against Clemson, or you got the upset here?
Well, this is tough because Sean McGuire's only thrown a few passes and they don't have anybody else's experience, but I think I'm going to take Florida State. Jameis Winston comes back in the second half, has a pretty big game.
He might have a half to claim the Heisman again. Jimmy, who you got?
I'll take Florida State.
Here's where I get run over by a truck. Clemson, Florida State has to get beat by somebody. And there's not a lot of very competitive teams on their schedule. This is where I take Clemson. Too much stuff going on with Florida State. It's time for it to all boil over and prove that you can't be messing around, and this will cost Florida State the game. I'm going to take Clemson. I could be totally wrong. Tiebreaker in case we need it. It's the big one, Miami at Nebraska. Jimmy and I have written down our point total. The over-under is 56. What do you got, Trent?
I like that 38-17, so we'll go 55.
Well, he's right on that number almost, and he's higher than both of us. So if it's 55 or above, he's got it nailed. Jimmy, what do you got?
I got 49.5.
See, my I've been going back and forth. Will it be exactly like Louisville, 31-13, or will they score again 31-20? So I've been in between, so I'm going to go 31-17, Nebraska. That's 48 points. Trent, congratulations. Already got the Big Dally's Deli combo meal, $20 in Cunningham's cash on the line, and, of course, bragging rights over me and Jimmy. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one, too.
You bet. Wow.
Yo, we're like 10 all 10 of our games are like different, Doug. We have 10 different games. We have different people. We picked every game, I think.
10-0.
I think we did. I think
somebody's going 10-0.
Yes. Well, both go 5-5, and that guy will go 10-0.
You ready for your picks? Drew Ott's going
to
join us here in our final.
You want me to do it right now?
Yeah, let's just keep it rolling. Drew Ott's going to join us in our final segment, so we'll kind of switch from Nebraska to Nebraska, Iowa, with the Trumbull connection. But what do you got for us?
Okay, I got two over-unders. I got 58.5 on the Nebraska-Miami game. I like it under. I think the game will be low scoring. I like the way Nebraska played defense last week. And I also, when you look at Nebraska, they gave up the 7 points to McNeese State on that 98-yard interception return. And actually, last week against Fresno State, you know, they really didn't give up much. They had a fumble at the 9-yard line, and Fresno had a short field. But boy, they had trouble moving the ball, Fresno did. I think Nebraska's defense will keep this low scoring. I think Miami will be smart enough to want to play a low-scoring game. So I think the game will be low-scoring. The other one I have, Indiana and Missouri over. I don't know if Missouri can stop Indiana. In fact, I almost selected Indiana as one of my games, but I don't know if Indiana can ever stop Missouri either. But the over-under is only 70. I was surprised. I thought it might be closer to 80, and it's 70, so I like that one over. 89% of the people in the United States are betting Wisconsin this week, and Bowling Green's getting 27.5 points. That thing could go up some more, so I'd wait until Saturday. But take Bowling Green, take the points. Wisconsin's had a little trouble scoring that much, they've, you know, against some teams. But they get explosive, though. This thing could be 66-0, so don't be calling me on the phone because I gave you the wrong side. But I think Bowling Green can play. My best selection is Alabama this week. Alabama hasn't covered the spread in like 5 straight games. They got beat by Auburn. They got beat by Oklahoma in the bowl game. They didn't cover the first week out. And did they play West Virginia? Is that who they played the first week out? A team that we kind of like. And then last week they didn't cover because they called the game of lightning. But Florida is not very good, people. This isn't the same Florida team we've been watching the last few years. They went in triple overtime at home at Kentucky. The spread's only 14.5. Alabama will roll. I'm going to give you a pro football game.
Uh-oh.
Seattle is 4.5 at home against Denver. For some reason, everybody thinks Denver's going to play this. Denver's excited. Denver had to had a preseason game where they could bluff their starters in to try to beat Seattle, and they did late. They scored late to beat Seattle in a preseason. These two teams aren't even close. It's the same thing as it was last year. Seattle's at home, only giving up 4.5. Seattle will roll. Two other exciting games. Georgia State is getting 35.5 points against Washington at Washington. 7 of the coaches at Georgia State were on the Washington staff. They coached at Washington.
Uh-oh.
Georgia State is at Washington, and these 7 guys were on the Washington staff years ago. A couple reasons you like it. I don't think they're going to run up the score on these guys. This could be a backdoor cover anyway, but they're going to come in there and want to play real bad. And the last one is Florida Atlantic plus the 4 versus Wyoming.
Uh-oh.
I just think that Wyoming does not have as good as athletes. They're struggling. They beat Air Force 17-12. They won another game just by much. And the Florida Atlantic had to play Nebraska and Alabama, and then they rolled over Tulsa. So that's my selections. Don't like any of them great except for Alabama, Seattle, and Bowling Green. Those are the 3, and I kind of like the 2 over-unders. But the last 2 were fun, Georgia State and Florida Atlantic. I hope we could hit them, but I have to pick 7 games because I got hit 4 this week.
Those would be like your 1.5 star selection.
Yeah, there you go.
So Bowling Green against Wisconsin, the Nebraska under, the Indiana-Missouri over, Bama against Florida, Georgia State against Washington, Florida Atlantic against Wyoming, and the first pro game of the year, Seattle to roll Denver. Those are Jimmy's picks here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And again, folks, for the years that he's been doing it, he doesn't go to Nebraska very often. He doesn't take the big-time programs like in Alabama very often. So that tells you something. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Drew Ott, when we come back.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Protein Design.
He's at the 30, 20, 10, touchdown, touchdown, the home team wins.
When you're looking for someone to throw you a winning touchdown, contact your hometown team, the Kroll Agency for Protection, written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. Call the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Hastings, and Roseland, the IMT Group, and you, a team that can't be beat.
Goodyear, driven by those who use the world as their proving ground. And everything we've learned making these tires inspires what we roll into yours. Goodyear, more driven.
And now through September 30th, get up to $60 by mail-in rebate when you purchase a set of four select Goodyear tires. Double your rebate up to $120 when you make the purchase on your Goodyear credit card.
Come see us at Graham Tire for a better tire and service experience. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
18.3% of Buffalo County high school students reported riding in a car driven by someone who had been drinking, and 8.1% reported driving when they had been drinking alcohol. Parents, take a stand and talk to your kids about drinking and driving. This message was brought to you by Positive Pressure and Buffalo County Community Partners.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Come a running, boys, don't you hear the noise, like the thunder in the sky, how it rolls along.
Okay, here it is. This is the song done by the Killigans. It's brand new this week. A lot of people like it. It's kind of cool. I like it, but let's not be getting over the board here saying that, you know, we should play this all the time or this should all of a sudden become a theme song. It's crazy. So there's the Killigans, and it's the Cornhusker. Come a running, boys, is what it's called. And if you don't know what I know, if you have heard the original version of this, and it is, well, like from the 1900s.
Come a running, boys, don't you hear that noise like the thunder in the sky?
Now, my historians tell me that the Huskers actually did used to run out of the tunnel / locker room to this way back in the day. And, you know, the only time you hear this is when you're watching Nebraska educational television and they put on one of those classic Husker history football games. What do you think, Jimmy? Well, that one, or you like this one with the Irish to it? Because there's nothing Irish about Nebraska or this song at all. I like that it's upbeat and it's cool, and I think we should use it, but just in this context.
I'll tell you what, we can't go wrong with Lyle Brimser doing anything when he calls a Husker game. If you want to get me fired up, and anybody close to my age, just stay with Lyle Brimser. We'll keep them listening. I'm not so sure they're going to listen to a couple of these. What do you think?
Yeah, but it's all, I'm going to tell you what, that's where the division is. We've made fun of the West Stadium crowd for years, sitting on their hands, blah, 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 the blue hairs, the old people. We're getting closer. But, I mean, we're talking people, But now that they've been shifted around with the expansion and season tickets have been moved and families are being moved, and you're hearing, you know, grumbling about that. And I'd be upset, too, if you sat there for 60 years and all of a sudden they wanted to check. Well, that's the way of the world these days. But they are separating that group of people from the young ones, and then there's us in the middle of that.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad. I must have been in my 30s, and I was at the Nebraska-Oklahoma game, and we kind of had the game won. It was one of those deals where, you know, they score, what, a flea flicker with like 8 seconds to go. You know, the Elvis Peacock and all that. You know, I'd had about 6 years too much of that. And some lady turned around and had to calm me down a little bit. She thought maybe I was a little out of line. And
no.
Yeah, I felt bad.
Sit down, sonny. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here, Jimmy. Ryan has his assessment of the game. Limiting big plays will be one key to a Husker victory. Miami will run the ball early to get the freshman quarterback settled in. When they pass the ball, the D-line needs to get pressure early and often. They do have a top-10 defense, which doesn't concern me. If you remember, Michigan State had a much better D last year, which couldn't stop Nebraska's offense. It was turnovers that allowed Sparty to win. They need to use Imani Cross to soften up the defense early on, and then they can throw it all over the yard like they do. Sprinkle in a lot of Amir, and something good will happen. They can't just give it to Amir all day and expect it to always work. Nebraska can have one turnover and still win the game. If we don't have any turnovers, it won't be a four-quarter game, according to Ryan. He says, play a smart game, and the special teams can carry us through. I agree with a lot of that. I don't agree with the Imani Cross part. You don't put Imani Cross in the first quarter to soften up the defense. You put in the best running back in the state, in most of the country, if not Amir Abdullah, and they're going to throw the ball a little bit tomorrow, folks. Just be prepared for it. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. How will the Huskers fare? 50% of you say that Nebraska wins and covers the 7.5. 30% said they win but don't cover. And for the first time this year, I think we have some votes that Miami, the opponent at least, will win the game. 20%. We both took the cover, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm really thinking that line's really good, to be honest with you. I think that 8.7.5-point line is right where you want to be. I wouldn't want to get on that. You know, if you watch that Auburn-Kansas State game, that line was correct. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know, I mean, the
shouldn't have been.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying though, it went down to one play. You don't want to take games that are going to go down to one play. And I think Nebraska is probably going to win by about 7 points. Hey, if they win by 14, great. But I don't need them that bad. I'd rather take them when they beat Fresno State by 60.
Great question today and for the weekend. Last night, Devin Hester, who played all those years with the Bears, now gets a punt return for a touchdown for the Falcons last night in that Pee Wee game, whoever they played, some group of 11-year-olds. But the punt return gives him 20 for his career punt and kick returns with past Deion Sanders. So vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Jimmy, is Devin Hester a Hall of Famer? Yes? No?
No.
That's a tricky one for me, because I believe in the context that it is, yes, he is the best return man of all time. And back in the day, as far as overall football players, when he's in there, he's not going to compare to some or most of the players. But he is the best return man of all time. And that tells you something. The best punter of all time isn't in yet. And Ray Guy, special teams are, or did Ray go in? He went in last year. That's right. He's not, I was thinking he was still on the list for this year. So he went in. Special teams has not taken its place in the Hall of Fame quite yet. And once they decide to do that, Devin Hester will be in. Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, as promised, Drew Ott, University of Iowa, of course, Giltner All-Stater, was the Nebraska Football Player of the Year, and we've been keeping up to date on his progress at the University of Iowa, and he's had some time today to squeeze us into his schedule here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Drew, I really appreciate it. How's things going? I know you guys are coming off a tough loss, but it seems like all three of your games have went down to the final play of the football game.
Oh, yeah, I mean, things are going. I mean, they're a little down right now losing to in-state rival, but I mean, things have been going pretty good. It just hurts we couldn't seal the win last Saturday. So,
Well, let's get to the brass nuts here. The last week has been pretty amazing for you. You have the best game of your career probably at Iowa, named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. Then you have a little accident on campus. Nobody's sure what your status is going to be for the game. You still come out. Then you have the downer with Iowa State. Can you just take me from the high to the low? Tell us a little bit about what happened to you and how you're feeling and kind of how the last 10 days have went for you.
I came off a real good win against Ball State. I mean, everyone was feeling good. Then I was just driving to weights on Monday. Car came out. We hit head on, and didn't really know if I was going to play at first, but got things rolling, got the recovery process going, and then came out Saturday and didn't have a very good game myself. Or I don't think the team really feel like they had a good game, so, I mean, you just came up a little short there too.
Now, I have to admit, I chuckled when I heard it was a scooter accident, and then I find out that that's kind of the basic mode of transportation around campus at Iowa. It's not like you have a scooter and three other people on campus. It's like that's what everybody does. Is that the case?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a ton of students that drive scooters around here. I mean, I would say definitely over half the football team drive scooters to get from across town to classes and then back across town to the football complex. So, I mean, it's a major mode of transportation here.
Was that a scary time for you, or were you pretty sure you were okay right away?
I didn't know if I was okay right away. Shins were kind of hurting from hitting that car bumper, but, I mean, I've living on the farm. I've flown over a couple handlebars on the spoilers and stuff before, so I wasn't too worried about it.
Well, this one wasn't your fault. How about those ones on the farm? Were those your fault?
Yeah, those are probably my fault, going a little too fast through the pastures, hitting gopher holes and badger holes. So.
We're talking with Drew Ott, outstanding defensive end at the University of Iowa. We got a chance to talk face-to-face with Coach Ferentz during media days at the end of July before fall camp began. And he and Scherf and some of the guys were talking about the way you've developed, the way you've come along. In your mind, how do you feel things have changed from Drew Ott last season to what you've been able to do through three games in the off season this year?
I mean, I've gotten a lot bigger, a lot stronger again this year, thanks to Doyle and his strength program, and just got a lot more confidence out on the field. I think that comes with preparation and just learning more of the defense. So.
Coaches said that you requested to be able to go up against Scherf, the All-American candidate, in practice, and that it has helped you get better. Tell us about how you guys, what he does, and that decision that you made.
I mean, Scherf is just a great guy, hard worker, and I mean, he was only going to make me a little better of a player if I could go against the best quality. So, I mean, I saw it as an opportunity for me.
Your defense right now, I mean, the defense hasn't really been the problem from a big picture standpoint. You lead the conference in rushing defense. The passing yards haven't been that big of a deal. Tell me a little bit about the guys you're playing with and how you're come together as a unit so quickly this year.
I mean, the D-line, we're all returning. So, I mean, we've known each other for a while, and we got Louie, Trinket Passad, and Carl Davis up front. I mean, they really plug up the middle, so pretty easy for us ends outside. And then we got three really good linebackers that kind of filled in the role of last year's starters. I mean, they've all been around for a while, so they know the scheme, just kind of getting used to the games now. And then we got some experienced people in the secondary that are doing a good job out there. So.
I want to go back to the player of the week honor. You make all these tackles, but obviously the big one is forcing the fumble at the end of the Ball State game. Every athlete, no matter what the sport is, kind of waits for that kind of a moment. Can you take me through the play and how it felt afterwards when you sealed the deal?
I mean, it was a moment of excitement, I would say. Just going through the play, I mean, I knew they were in passing situations, so I was just really tilting, trying to get that edge pressure, and luckily came free, quarterback was dropping still, and ran right into each other.
We're talking with Drew Ott here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Of course, grew up in our backyard, went to Giltner, listed Trumbull as his home. Drew, I don't know if I ever asked you this back in the time when you made your commitment to Iowa, but I'm guessing you had a decision where you could have went to high school via where you lived. Why was it Giltner?
Giltner was the closest town to me, so I mean, it was like 7.5 miles away. Started out going to Trumbull, but closed down. I was in third grade, so, and then parents decided to take me to Giltner.
And playing, a lot of people will say that 8-man guys have a disadvantage when they go to college just because they haven't played the 11-man game. Did that pan out, or were you never behind the 8-ball at all there, did you think?
I don't really think I was behind the 8-ball too much. I don't know, you just got to focus on a position. I mean, I kind of thought it was easier. I went from playing a lot of positions in 8-man to just really focusing in on one. So, I mean, I thought that was pretty easy.
Drew Ott with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Is Iowa State the biggest rivalry game on the schedule?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I don't know, probably for this state I would say so. So.
And what was it like coming back to Memorial Stadium last year?
I mean, that was a good feeling going in there, beating a good team, and getting our eighth win that year.
Tell me what happened in your mind with this game the last week, what the coaches have said, what you're going to be addressing right away in practice today.
I would say just getting more of a pass rush for us defensive linemen and just trying to help out our secondary with giving them less time back there to throw.
And this week, Pittsburgh on the schedule here for you. A lot of the Iowa pundits, the newspaper guys, media guys, you know us, that's all we have to do is sit around and worry about stuff like that. They thought this might be your toughest challenge. What are you seeing in Pittsburgh? Can you give us an early scouting report?
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh, they look like a real solid team. Run the ball extremely well. They got a big offensive lineman that like to come off the rock pretty hard. So, I mean, that'll be a good challenge for us. They got a big running back, too. I mean, he'll be hard to bring down also.
And, Drew Ott, something else that we like to do on these radio shows is make predictions, and we make a lot of predictions. And I said I thought Iowa, I picked you guys, let's just be frank. I picked you guys here in the middle of Nebraska. I picked Iowa to win the West, which obviously all of that's still out there in front of you. Do you feel like you got a team? It sounds like if the offense can start to click, your defense is there. What about this run through the Big Ten that starts next week?
We just got to stay focused. I mean, we just got to get better and better every week. So, I mean, we got to turn ourselves into a Big Ten team. And I don't know if we're quite there yet, but hopefully throughout the season we can build to accomplish that.
Drew Ott with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show for one more minute. We've got a lot of areas that we can cover, a lot of things that we can talk about. But as far as if mom and dad are listening right now, they probably want to know how things are going at school as far as the studies. How you doing with that? How are you balancing things? And let the folks know what your major is and all things like that.
I'm a health and human physiology major. Things are going pretty good. I mean, my whole career I've been over 3.0 here, so, I mean, that's been pretty good here. I think this semester should be the same. Study's going pretty good. Classes are going pretty good.
Last year you were one of the four sophomores named to the leadership group. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's like and what you have to do with that?
Coach Ferentz kind of called upon us to ask us questions about the team, whether if it's meals, maybe a T-shirt design, or our team goals. We'll just kind of be the team say for that. Or if someone has a problem, they can come tell us, and then we'll go talk to Coach Ferentz. So that's kind of what that entails.
And finally, Drew, before we let you go, where's the best pizza around your hometown again?
Sitting Bowl.
if Drew Ott's home, what kind of pizza does he get?
I like the taco pizza.
Every Giltner High School game, the gang down there at the Sitting Bull likes to provide a little pizza, so I wanted to make sure and give them a plug because they do a darn good job. So, hey, Drew, it's great chatting with you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, and hopefully we can do it again. Keep up the good work, and we'll see you at least when Iowa and Nebraska play, but pick up a lot of wins between now and then, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, Drew. Drew Ott. And tonight, Giltner Overton, by the way, on the Breeze, 94.5. I know Craig's looking forward to Sitting Bull pizza. That's good stuff, man.
What game do you have today?
I'll be at Pleasanton for Pleasanton Loomis. Randy has the big C1 matchup, Kearney Catholic at Cozad. Mike and Blaine have Adams Central and Hastings High games tonight. So go to PlatteRiverPreps.com if you want to listen away from the radio signal. If you got friends, family, alum outside of the area, they can listen to all the games there for free. The podcasts are up right after the game. And folks, if you're thinking about a new pivot irrigation system, now for a limited time, T&L Irrigation is offering their Harvest Special, $5 per foot discount. You can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter mile long T&L pivot. Get decades of reliability with your T&L pivot system. Visit your local T&L dealer today. Get ready for the upcoming season. because you're going to need to do some maintenance on what you have, or if it's time for a change or to get a new one, TLIRR.com, the website that has all the details. TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. It will be a big recruiting weekend for the Huskers as well. A lot of guys that have already committed and some that are thinking about it coming in. And I know where you're going to be tonight. Kearney High is at home taking on Papillion. And, of course, the Kearney Booster Club is putting on a Bearcat tailgate tonight. And that is going on at 5:30 until game time. Bearcat burgers, hot dogs, chips, soda, water, $5 per person. Tickets can be purchased at the tailgate. So it's the Bearcat Booster Club tailgate tonight.
You know, and on Monday, we'll be talking about the Royals and how they did against Detroit in this three-game series they've got. You know, Cleveland's only four back. Cleveland's just sitting back there watching those two, hoping somebody will sweep that. If they're out, if there's a sweep. But if they 2-1 and they just take turns losing, Cleveland could get back in it because they got a big series against the Royals coming in right afterwards. So that thing's not done, that American League Central, at all.
Scary Detroit. What do you think? Royals will win how many games out of this series, three-game series? How many?
Could I just tell you how many runs I think the Royals will score? I think they're only going to get about 9. So if they can win all three games 3-2, I'll be tickled to death.
Must win one.
Oh, I think they
must win one.
Yeah, to keep the wild card going.
Yeah. Because then you only lose a game. If you win one, you lose a game. If you win two, you gain a game. I don't see a sweep either way. I guess still being that Royals fan, I'm hoping that it's no worse than 1-2.
I'll tell you what, they really caught a break because, the Oakland A's have played just absolutely pathetic baseball for about a month and a half and have taken themselves right out of leading the wild card by 6 games. Now there's 2 wild card spots open. They were kind of playing for one, and now actually there's 2 wild card spots. So they've got a 75% chance, the Royals do, of at least getting in. You know, they got a 75% chance of getting in.
Well, and again, I guess I'll have to ask, if you're the number one wild card you get to host, is that automatic or is there a coin flip involved?
I looked at this last year. I didn't look at it this year. If the two teams are tied, I think they go to how they did head-to-head, and the Royals beat Oakland head-to-head. You know, so I don't know how that'll work, but I do want to know one thing. If they play somebody, I'd rather play Oakland than Seattle in the wild card.
Well, and just having the game in Kansas City would be huge. Final thoughts here. Mel Kiper has put up his latest draft board. Randy Gregory is number 7 on that. It is tomorrow. If you're going to the Husker game, visit the Nissan Heisman House because Johnny Rogers, Mike Rozier, Eric Crouch are all there. It's at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Neil Everett from ESPN will be on hand. They'll do a little question and answer session with the crowd, and each one of them will then have an autograph session, pictures, all of that going on. And it looks like Johnny's there from 2 to 3:30. Rozier will show up at 3:30 to talk, and Eric Crouch will talk at 4:30. And it looks like, I'm not sure, you can't really tell if they're going to be all there all at the same time, but that's how they kind of break down. Hall of Fame weekend for UNK. Best of luck to the Lopers, and congratulations to Kenyon Crandall, Mike Smith, Beth Swift Dye, Cindy Cone and Frank Kuchera. The Nebraskan Student Union hosts the banquet tonight at 6:30. Kickoff tomorrow at 3. Hastings College tries to go to 3-0 at Doan, 1 o'clock on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. Battle of Unbeatens tonight. Loper Volleyball hosting Central Oklahoma at 7, and Missouri Southern tomorrow at noon. Hastings, top 25 matchup tomorrow afternoon, hosting Dort. And, of course, top 10 matchup at the Devaney tomorrow. 9th-ranked Nebraska hosting 2nd-ranked Texas. Soccer teams are in action. The Woody Greeno cross-country invite is going on down at Lincoln. There's stuff you could do morning cross country, afternoon volleyball, and of course football tomorrow night. And folks, enjoy it all. Tri-City Storm season starts next week. They're out in Des Moines for the Fall Classic to wrap things up today and tomorrow. And how about this? Congratulations to Kayla Roth. Had a hole-in-one yesterday at Lachlan Country Club number 6. The Kearney Catholic star. Her score doesn't reflect the hole-in-one, but who cares? Got a hole-in-one at Lachlan on number 6, and Kearney Catholic won the team event. And the stars, Morgan Teal, the individual champ. Jimmy, thanks for being in. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Hope your picks all come through.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they came through, but I'd rather have the Royals sweep. if I had a choice, I'd just take some. Be careful. Don't bet much. Just bet a couple bucks.
And again, Mauro Bondi in a motorcycle wreck last night. Bangs his shoulder up, has a broken clavicle. Nebraska's kickoff man. That's all we know about that right now. Thanks to Drew Ott and Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity for joining us. We will see you Monday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.